December 11th through the 17th, 1977, in Cleveland, Ohio, the Born Again Messages with Brother Titus Chu. Message 3.
Well, we better continue. Well, you remember we shared in the last two meetings. First meeting, we covered in a simple way what is born again. We made three statements. Born again issues in the new life. And born again, what? Issues in another thing. The change of position. And then thirdly, the born again issues in the necessity of a new living. So there is a matter of life, it's a matter of position, and it's a matter of a new living. All the three items are closely followed, happened in the time we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then yesterday we said, after you have been born again, you need to testify that you are born again. Therefore, there is a sign in the Bible that you need to be baptized. Amen. Baptized has nothing to do with how Christ will come into you. Christ will come into you as long as you receive him as your Savior. But baptism is a sign to testify at least seven items. First, it testifies to us that we are saved from this coming world. Even though we are still alive, living on this earth. But because we believe and baptized, therefore we are saved from the world. The world can do nothing with us as we are baptized already. Secondly, the baptism is a washing away of all our old record. Once we are baptized, then we can be clear that nothing Satan can accuse us anymore. Why? Because all our old records were buried in the water. Therefore, all our old record was washed away. And thirdly, the baptism proves that we are dead. We are dead unto Satan. We are dead unto sin. We are dead unto the current evil age, the world. We're dead unto the three items. Not only we are dead, the baptism is a barrier that we are buried into the water. Therefore, Satan, sin, and the world would have nothing to do with us anymore. Am I right? I'm more than this. How many now? One, two, three, right? Fourthly, the baptism is a resurrection. When you get into the water, it is a barrier of all your oldness. When you come up from the water, that you are risen with this wonderful Christ. Amen. Every part of the resurrected one can be subjectively experienced by you. When you come up from the water, you can testify that I am a resurrected person. Amen. Isn't that clear? Amen. So first, you are saved. Second, you're washed. Third, you're buried. Fourth, you're resurrected. Then fifthly, not only you're resurrected, when you come up from the water, the baptism proves from now on you will have a new life. Amen. Your living will be by putting on this very Christ. Putting on Christ. And more than this, sixthly, that you are baptized into the body of Christ. In one spirit, we all were baptized into one body. I tell you, brothers, no matter how you're saved, no matter how you like the meetings, no matter how you appreciate brothers and sisters, until you're baptized, you can never say, I'm part of the body life. You can say, I'm part of the body because you're saved. Therefore, you are members of the body. But you can never say, I'm partaking the body life. Why? Because you have not yet baptized. One day, praise the Lord, you're baptized. Do you know your baptism, your baptizing is what? issues the fact that from now on, you are in the body life. Isn't that wonderful? Brother, do you realize this? Before yesterday, you still have a door open in the back. Anytime you don't like the church, you go away. You join something else. But after you're baptized, you realize, from now on, I will only belong to the body. Am I right? So how many items now? Six items now. Then the seventh item, the baptism, is a strong testimony to prove in the whole universe there is only one Lord, only one God, only one Spirit, only one body, and also only one baptism. The baptism is a proof, a testimony of the oneness of all the Christians together. At least the baptism would accomplish these seven things. Aren't you happy about it?
Amen.
I tell you, brother, today I know some of you may get a little bit tired because we've been quite excited. Then we heard all the messages, and we have a long message to come. I try to share it in 10 minutes, so don't worry. But before I go to my fellowship, I surely would advise you all, whosoever have not yet been baptized, don't think that is a ceremony. Satan will tell you that is a ceremony. No, that is not a ceremony. That is a testimony.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm here. I really, be honest with you, I don't need a name. I am. I'm a person. Am I right? But I do need a name. As what? As a testimony. If I want to testify myself, I should name myself Titus. Am I right? Therefore, when people talk about me, they say, Titus. Immediately, the testimony of a certain person is there. Does that make sense to you? Suppose I just got no name, and you got no name. We all have no name. And we are human beings. We all have personality. We all have meals, eat meals. We all sleep well. We all study. We all work. We all are perfect, complete, capable human beings. Yet none of us has a name. I tell you what, none of us has a testimony. Why should I need a name? I don't need a name. I still can live. I don't need a name. I will not short of one ear or one nose. Am I right? I am what I am, whether I have a name or I don't have a name. It makes no difference with my constitution, with my being built up. But the name is there, proves a testimony. When I say John, you see, here's a testimony. Am I right? When I say Mike, you see, here's a testimony. When I say man, isn't there a lot of men? Then why don't you answer? Because you realize that is not your testimony. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Praise the Lord. You believe in Jesus Christ, you possess all the heavenly riches. Hallelujah. But you still need to be baptized for these seven reasons. First, for you to be saved from the world for the future. Second, to wash away your record. Third, to be buried, to be separated from Satan, the world, and sin. Fourthly, to be resurrected with Christ. Fifthly, to put on Christ as your new living. Sixthly, to be in the body. And seventhly, to testify in the whole universe there is only one. One Lord, one God, one faith, and hallelujah, one baptism. How God desires that all the Christians can be one.
Amen.
Could you say amen with me to wake you up?
Amen.
How about the new ones? Are you tired? All the new ones come. I think when you come, the brother will tell you, tonight you have a wonderful preacher. Oh, he's preaching so funny. Everybody laughs. And it was so good. Now you hear all the young men doing all the job. But I don't know how you feel. At least I feel they do a better job than a lot of pastors. Why? Because they have a certain amount of life. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, how about all you new ones? Try to say amen with me. Would you please? Don't feel forced. Could you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How about you, sister? Hallelujah. How about you, sister? Amen. How about you, sister? Amen. How about you? Are you a brother? Hallelujah. Amen. How about, let me check, okay? We go one by one. So you all can wake up. I know you, sister, so you are not a new one. I think I met you, right? Many times. Okay, now, how about you? Are you a Christian? You're not saved yet. You're not saved. Then do you know you need to be saved? And then you know more than to be saved, you need to jump into the water. Do you know that? You know? I will tell you later how wonderful it is to be saved. Okay, now, but would you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, okay. Now, let's go one by one. Please, don't feel forced. You too. Are you from Brazil? Yeah, I was just in Brazil. So how about you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah, how about you? Amen. How about we all? Everyone?
Amen.
Now, we all need to say amen to wake up. Because we're tired.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, okay, now, let's come to another point. Please, take your notes, huh? There's a lot to cover. I don't know, what should we do with it? You see, when I need the notes, that means a lot. Am I right? Okay, now, brothers, we shared the first thing related to born again. Is that born again issues in the new life. Am I right? Now, I give you 9 points about this life. What is this life? Of course, it is much more than 9 points. I realize if we want to cover the riches of this life, we need at least 20 meetings just on the matter of what is life. Now, I give you a sketch, a very simple sketch, okay, to tell you what have you received when you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, Miss, would you pay attention to what I say? I tell you, it's rather hard, but you will be surprised. To believe in Jesus Christ is not getting a ticket to enter into the heavens, right? Usually people think in this way. Once you're saved, then you got a ticket, right? Someday you'll go to heavens. No, no, no. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the first thing happened to you will be the very God come into you as your life. Do you know this, miss? Do you believe there is a God?
Yeah.
Do you believe God can come into you?
Yeah.
Do you believe God can come into you as your life? I tell you, I believe, and I think you can believe, right? By a simple way. We all are saved in that way. One day, we just said some word. In a sense, quite funny. We say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. How about you? Are you a wonderful lady or a sinner? You better say both, right? On the one aspect, you're a wonderful lady, no doubt about it, right? On another aspect, I'm sorry, miss, you're just a sinner. I hope you're not offended. And look at me, because me too. But you know, one day I did something quite honest. I told the Lord, I said, Lord Jesus, excuse me, I'm just a sinner. Would you please forgive me and come into me? Just a short prayer like that. God, come into me.
Amen.
Could you do a prayer like this with me? Oh, it's hard. Would you please stand up with your friends who come with you? Please, don't feel shameful, okay? Would you stand up with her also? Now, could we all close our eyes? We just have a very simple prayer, okay? Oh, Lord, I pray one sentence, you follow me, okay? Oh, Lord Jesus. Say that. Oh, Lord Jesus, please. I come to you. I am a sinner. I open my heart to receive you, to come into me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You are my Savior. You have saved me. Your blood cleansed me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, thank you. I am no longer a sinner. I am born again. I am born again. I have Jesus Christ live in my spirit. Live in my spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, sister. Amen, sister. Sit down, please. You touch something? Amen. I believe you touched something. Surely we prayed, right? And I'm pretty sure you know you are saved. To be saved, it's just as simple. Now, again, don't look down at this short prayer. Do you know what happened to you, sister? What's your name, sister? Sue. Do you know what's happened to you, Sue? Now, the creator of the whole universe is no longer just in the heavens. And it's no longer outside of you. Where you were praying 30 seconds ago, he came into your spirit.
Amen.
Do you know this? I tell you, the creator of the universe is in me.
Amen.
And I also tell you, the creator of the universe is in you.
Amen.
Do you know this, Sue? Can you say this? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's you, sister. How about you? Can you say this? Hallelujah. You know, sister? The creator of the universe is no longer outside of me, and he is inside of me. Where is Jesus? In me. How come? Just in that short moment. We didn't even do anything. We didn't even offer us $100 to pay the due first. You don't have any due later anyway, sister. Don't worry. But anyway, we don't even do anything. All what we did was open our heart. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Right when you pray like this, you know what's happened? The eternal God, the God who create the universe, come into you as what? As life.
Amen.
Why? Because in essence, only the life of God is life.
Amen.
Beside God, there's no more life. You see, you look at me. Huh? Am I a handsome Chinese man? Well, not so ugly, right? And am I speaking a kind of good English with my wonderful Chinese beautiful accent? You see, all these are true. But I tell you, 50 years later, I'm not quite sure, could you still see this man? Then I will be 92. I missed your life. Maybe the Lord has not come, but I believe Lord will be back already. Lord, cover me. I just say it according to my faith. It's not a doctrine or teaching, right? But suppose the Lord delayed. I would quite sure 60 years later, you shouldn't see me anymore. Why? Because this life, living over here, is not life. It's a temporary manifestation. But there's one thing that is of eternity. That eternity is of life. What is that? It's God himself. Only the life of God is life. What is life? God is life. Without God, there's no life. I tell you, that is why the Bible says we all were dead. We all were dead in sin, in our trespass, in all our problems, until one day we open our heart. We receive Jesus Christ. That receiving brings in what? Brings in this eternal God as our life. And don't look down at this God. No, you write it down already, right? No, you write down the verses. Maybe I just give you the short point first. Huh? This eternal God are of triparts. Of the air. Oh, no, not of. Of the ice. Then of the water. Then of the air. God the ice, God the water, and God the air. How many things? God the steam. Okay, not the air. Steam. Yeah, God the steam. God the ice, God the water, ice, I-C-E. God the ice. No, not I, E-Y, not yet. I-C-E. Isn't that my beautiful accent? Right? God the ice, I-C-E, okay? And God the water, and God the steam. Let me ask you, how many God? No, it's three, right? There's ice, there is water, there is steam. How many God? one or three?
One.
You have to say one God in three manifestations. Therefore, when the life comes into you, not just one comes into you, but the triune God comes into you as life. God the Father comes into you, God the Son comes into you, and God the Spirit comes into you. God the Father is a source. God the Son is a cause. And God the Spirit is a flow. The triune God come into you as the eternal life.
Amen.
This is point one. When you are saved, what did you get? The moment you say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. That is the moment you receive the three-in-one God. You receive God the Father. You receive God the Son. You receive God the Spirit. You think how much message we should give on this. Right? But we didn't. We don't have time. You just remember this. Now, okay, God the Father put a heaven, no? not go to the heaven, but H-A-V-E-N, heaven, no? Hyphen, no? Put a hyphen, right? Put a heaven, source. God the Son put a heaven, course. God the Spirit put a heaven, flow. God the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the source, the course, the flow, the ice, I-C-E, and the water or the river and the steam. Am I right? So you really enjoy the steam, breathing the steaming in all the time. But when you're breathing in the steam, the same time you bring in the water, you bring in the ice, you bring in all the riches of the triune God. So God is for you to breathe in. Am I right? Okay. The first you got is the life of God himself. Now I give you the verses. 1 John 5:12. This verse is simple. He that has Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Am I right? That means if you don't have God, you have no life. Now, I like to ask Sue. Sue, do you have life now?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, that's wonderful. My sister come the first time, and she can say, yeah, I have life.
Yeah.
I tell you, to say you have life is a blessing. Okay, then John 3:36. We don't have time to read it. Then 1 John 1:4. No. John 1, verse 1. Right? You know the verse. And John 1:4. And John 10:10. John 14:6. Is that clear? And Colossians, it's too fast? Okay, I go again now. 1 John 5:12. Is that clear, huh? John 3:36. Okay, then I give you more verses. John, Gospel according to John, chapter 1:1-4. Chapter 10:10. Chapter 14:6. Then secondly, Colossians. Chapter 3:4. This is another important verse. Christ, who is our life. Am I right? Christ is our life. Then thirdly, Gospel according to John 14:16-17. I will pray, Father, he will give you a comforter, right? And bring you into all the reality. So the Spirit is a spirit of comfort, the spirit of reality. And then chapter 16:13a. Okay? Now, secondly, after you got saved, in the moment you're born again, another peculiar thing happened. You got a new heart. You must realize, before you are saved, your heart is a stony heart. Your heart is stone. Do you agree with me, gentlemen? Do you agree with me? I tell you, all the unbelievers, their heart is stone. Why? I tell you why. Because their spirit is dead. Could you take down all the notes I tell you? Everyone, before they believe in Jesus Christ, their spirit is dead. Because their spirit is dead, their conscience is dead. Because their conscience is dead, therefore, the functioning of their heart turned out to be dependent soul depend on the flesh. Oh, these are the hard doctrines. Could you take it down? Because their spirit is dead, their conscience is dead. Because their conscience is dead, their soul functions, or their heart is the functioning of the soul depending on the deadened or sinful flesh. Therefore, everyone, before they are saved, their heart is stony. You try to talk with unbelievers. You ask him. You say, do you believe in God? I don't believe. Where is God? I tell you, Sue, don't think that I just get you saved. I do believe the Lord was upon you for at least a whole meeting. That is why your heart was quite ready. Many times you talk with people, people argue, where's God? Show me God. If you don't show me God, then I will never believe in God. These are nonsense. Nonsense. What? What is it? Debate. Nonsensical debate. You don't see everything. Do you see the air? Could you tell me, show me the air. If you can, show me the air. I believe there's air. I don't have to show you. Just stop, breathe. See you die. Why should I show the air?
Amen.
It's stupid for you to say, show me the air. If I can see the air, I'll believe in air. I tell you, people, the same thing. Show me God. If you can show me God, I'll believe in the God. I don't have to show you God. You just call on the name of the God. You have him. Amen. If you don't call, you die. Amen. Just like the air. If some people tell me, Mr. Chu, if you don't show me the air, I'll never believe there's air. All what I have to do is, I don't show air. Finish. Why finish? Because the air is not seeable. And also, I like to tell you, God really likes to appear to you. You don't know how God likes to show you. God likes to manifest himself to you. God likes to appear to you, you know, young brother. He likes to come to you to tell you, I'm God. The only problems you cannot take. Suppose I really prayed. I say, God, this young man wants to see you. Would you please show yourself to him? God says, yes, I will. You know what's going to happen? The thunder come, the earthquake come, all the things happening. I tell you, the sinner will be scared to death. And I believe before God calmed down, he died already. By what? By being so scared. How could you see God? You're sinful as you are. Fallen as you are, right? How could you ever see God? It's God's mercy you don't see him. Suppose God every day would walk around the earth visiting us from city to city. I don't think it takes very long. The whole earth is perished. Even Moses cannot see him. Even Moses living in God's presence cannot see him. How about you? Who are you to say, show me God? Aren't you stupid? You must be graduating from the stupid university with a PhD degree, a doctor of stupidness. Therefore, you are so bold to say, show me God. I never dare to say that. I say, don't show me God, but let me enjoy God.
Amen.
You know, before people believe in God, they are stony. Their heart is stony. But once you believe in God, your heart turns out to be flesh. Fleshly. Is that? No. Fleshy? Yeah. What kind of the word is that, Leo? Fleshy? Flesh. Your heart turned out to be flesh. You know what does this mean? I show you, huh? Kevin, come to me, huh? Suppose I was a man. You just walk. I also walk. No. What are you doing? You know why? Because I got a stony heart. Everything is wrong. I'm right. In the whole universe, I'm right. Right? I take his eyeglass and rubbed it, then I blame it doesn't fit me. It doesn't belong to me at all. I rub an eyeglass and I complain because it doesn't fit me. That is every human being. Don't think I'm joking. People are doing their best to gain the profit for themselves. They don't want God. They don't want anybody. I tell even husband, not necessarily want wife. Wife, not necessarily want husband. You allow me by saying so, please. Excuse me by saying so. Everybody is centered just by themselves. Their heart's stony. But after I got saved, my heart is no longer stony. My heart is flesh. Oh, isn't that wonderful? When you are born again, your heart turned out to be flesh. Your heart is tender. Your heart is sensitive. Your heart is filled with all kind of feelings from God. Praise the Lord. Now I'll give you one verse. Ezekiel 36:26. You all read it tomorrow, okay? I'm sorry. We don't have time to read them over now. Right? God will give us a new heart. right? And then also it says, same verse, that is point three, a new spirit will be given to us. When you are saved, not only you have a new heart, but you also have a new spirit. That verse is Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 36, verse 26. You also not only have a new heart, but also have a new spirit. The new spirit was what? Was a resurrected spirit. When God created you, these are all, every word is some doctrine. Please, take notes, do your best. Huh? When you are created with a living spirit to contact God. But after the falling of man and after the continuous degrading, the spirit within man is getting darkened and darkened and darkened. Finally, the human beings, their spirit is dead. That is why people like to say there is no God. That is why people have no interest to God. Why? Because their spirit is dead. No, sister, is your spirit dead or living? Your brother, okay, brother, I'm sorry. Is your spirit living or dead? Yeah. Hallelujah. You have to say, my spirit is living.
Amen.
Why? How do I prove to you? Formally, whoever heard about Jesus, I just get bothered. Really. Whenever I go to a church service, I just feel it's too long. And whenever I heard somebody preaching, I get tired of it. And whenever I see the Bible, I just want to throw it aside. And I'm not joking. I major in literature, and the best literature really is the Bible, right? And peculiar, even that, not many people like to read the Gospels. They read all the books in literature, but they don't like to read the Gospels. I tell you, on the whole earth, there's no short story, better than Prodigal Son. In that short paragraph. The whole story, every character was portrayed, all the process was described, everything was made so clear in that short thing. No one has ability to write a story like that besides Jesus. Really, that's God written. That is the best short story in the whole universe. No one can write a better short story in such a short paragraph. So many characters portrayed so clearly and human need. And philosophy so deep. But the problem is, people don't like to have it. Why? Because their spirit is dead. But, do you know, right after you got saved, you got a new spirit. Right after you got a new spirit, do you know what's happened? You just like to do something. People think you're crazy.
Amen.
I tell you, you begin to say, Lord Jesus, it's good. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You begin to say, Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
I tell you, sometimes you will be in your room all by yourself. You knock the doors. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Your mother will peer. You say, peer is the word?
Peek
through the door and say, what's wrong with my son? Should I send him to the institute? But don't worry. You know what's wrong? Nothing wrong. But your spirit was made alive.
Amen.
You turn out to be so sensitive. So interested to the things related to God. You got God himself, you got new heart, you got new spirit.
Amen.
Then fourthly, you got the life of light, the light of life, the light of life. You got the light of life. Beforehand, you are in darkness. You don't know what is right, what is wrong. You don't even care. But now you do see something. You begin to realize what is darkness, what is light. What is righteousness, what is evil. Not in a religious way, but out of your life. Within you, you realize something that is just terrible. Even outwardly, they appear to be right. Do you know what I'm talking about? Outwardly, there's nothing wrong with it. But within you, you have some light. The light comes from the life. You realize you can't. You can't do it. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit. You also have the light of life. I was in a military camp. You know, the military people, they do a lot of funny things. Am I right? Where I was in the military in service, you know, the students read a lot of kind of funny things. They're passing around in the dormitory, and, you know, the dormitory has about 100 people. And you have no way to get away from all these funny things that are passing around you all the time. And I was a young man, 21, 22. But I tell you something. They all tell me, what's wrong with this kind of thing? And I couldn't see anything wrong. But for some reason, if I should touch it, something within me tell me, don't do this. Yeah. What is this? The light of life come into you in the moment when you were born again. Now, this is John 1:4, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Then, fifthly, you also got the law of life. The light of life is outside. The law of life is inside. What is the law of life? Every life has a law. I have a human life, and I have human life law. Suppose I come here, I didn't eat for 3 days, I didn't sleep for 3 days, I tell you, I must have two signs. One of the two signs. One, I come here, I couldn't hardly open my eyes, I get so tired. Another thing is I'm very ear-tempered. I rebuke everybody. Because I'm overly tired, I'm exhausted. And there's nothing wrong about it. The only way, the best way is, now please go to sleep. Then everything's okay. Or, come on, eat a lot of milk. Drink some meat. Drink a lot of milk and eat some meat, then you'll be okay. Am I right? You have to fulfill the law of your human life. But you know now, you got the life of God. And within you, there is also another law, the law of the life of God. Amen. Under that law, something was very funny. You are limited. You are bound. Under that law, you find out many things you cannot do. You don't have the ability to do it. I tell you, I'm an ear-tempered person, right? I'm quick. Many times, according to me, in driving, just in driving alone, I must have wrecked 30 cars already. Whenever I see somebody illegal, I just think the best way is just hit him. Then everything's okay. You know, look at the crazy drivers. I tell you, United States not so bad. You try to go to Far East, you try, Lord cover me, you Brazilian brothers cover me. You try to go to Brazil, it's about the same. I call them jet car. They drive like flying. Jet car with a jet engine in the car. They surely drive so fast. I tell you, in Far East, when I first began to drive the car, and I don't know how to start because I realize if I move, I'm going to get into an accident. Then my brother taught me a secret. The secret is always take your bumper in front of others. If your front bumper is in front of other cars, you're always right. Whose bumper is in front, who win the case? So when I drive, it's just like fight, you know, always find a small space, squeeze your bumper in, therefore you're in front. Sometimes I tell you, the people, they stick their bumper in, they don't even care. Do you know what I'm talking about? They surely bother you. And the ones they bothered, they got to my press in front of me, and what I did was I turned around, get in front of him, but immediately there is a law of life. He just says, this doesn't agree with my life. It means the life of God. This is something. You do this, I'm not happy. Yeah. The more you do, the more you are disagreeing with the law of life. There's a lot of sins within your body. There's something wrong. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I try to walk through, you know, the walk, you know, the line. You should walk through, how they call that kind of thing. Walk past. Crosswalk. You try to walk through the crosswalk. And the car was going like this. You know, according to my terms, to take off my shoe or something, throw right in front of the car and scare him to death. Then when he stopped, I'll tell him, now, I'm walking through the crosswalk. You better wait for me. What are you doing over here? But I tell you, when I try to take off my shoe or do something, there's a law within me. Mm-mm. I tell you, praise the Lord. Don't you realize? After you got saved, a lot of things began to happen to you. A lot of things began to happen to you. What's happened to you? Not only you have the life of God, not only you have a new heart, not only you have new spirit, not only you have the light of life, you also have the law of life. Disagreeing with anything that cannot compare with God himself. Only when you do things that is according to God, The more you do it, the happier you get. The more you do it, the more you have the Lord's presence. The more you do it, the more you feel wonderful. Am I right? I give you the verse, Romans 8:2. Then, point six, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. What does sealed mean? Sealed means from now on, you belong to a certain person. You know, many preachers trying to preach to people, you know, brother, now you are saved, you have to give yourself to the Lord. Really, you don't need to. Why? Because the life within you will encourage you to live for Christ. Why? The Lord sealed you. Have you realized the seals, suppose, there are all kind of cattle go through a place to be examined, right? Later, they have to be divided to their owners. What they do is they seal every cattle, you know, they seal every cattle. You know what I'm talking about, right? So they brand them. It's the same thing. Same thing. Everybody, after we got saved, got saved. Boom. Okay, praise the Lord. Boom, like this. Hallelujah. Now, here, now that I have a life of God, now that I have a new heart, a new spirit, the light of life, the law of life, but also here, there's a seal. Proof I belong to God. Testifies that I belong to God. You even have no way to belong to somebody else. Because the life within you would always tell you that you belong to God. You know, Sue, do you know from now on, you belong to whom? You'll be surprised. You say, what are you talking about? Before I walk here, I belong to myself. When I walk out of this room, I belong to God. Not only you, we all are about the same. In that one night, when we open our heart, when we say, Lord, come into us, that moment, we got the seal. From now on, we belong to God himself. We are sealed. Even Satan come, try to take you away. God will say, don't touch him. He's my cattle. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Don't touch. He belongs to me. He's not of Satan's kingdom. And more than that, I give you the verse. Ephesians 1:13. That is Ephesians 1:13. Point seven. You also have the earnest of the Spirit. What is the difference between the seal and earnest? Seal means you belong to God. Earnest is God belongs to you. When you are saved, you are sealed. When you are saved, also, you got the earnest. Do you, brother, know what I'm talking about? For instance, tonight, we are here. We come into the meeting. We begin to pray with a little bit. I enjoy it a little bit. We always, all of a sudden, we got a sense. We cannot tell what's what. I tell you, the unbeliever, you can never make it clear. You tell them, oh, it's so happy. It's wonderful. It's so happy. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He says, so happy? How happy? Just as you deliver a baby? Or just as you got an A? Or just as happy as that you got $10 from your parents? Or just as what you got a promotion at work? How happy is that happy? Yeah. You can never make it clear. Oh, yeah. But only those who got earnest, they know. Why? Because they enjoy it. The more they say, hallelujah, amen, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. I tell you, oh, the earnest was here. Ooh, ooh, hallelujah. I tell you, brother, I begin to enjoy something. I cannot tell you what's what. Those unbelievers, I try to explain. I never can make it clear, but it's clear with me. Why? Because I experienced it. What is this earnest? This earnest is practically a foretaste. Yeah. Do you know how wonderful it will be in the heavens? Don't wait. Say, I don't know. I think it's wonderful. Where I was very young, you know, I talked with one brother. I said, how is heaven? You know, even then, even in the church, we still don't have the boldness. There's no heaven to go. We still didn't dare not say. We still say, the New Jerusalem come down out of heaven. But for some reason, we still talk about heaven. We see that already, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. We are all go to the New Jerusalem to be co-kings with Christ. Amen. But we still don't say we don't go to heaven. We didn't say that, you know? So one day I was asking a brother, I said, brother, would you please tell me how the heaven would look like? He said, think. The better you can think, the more it will be like that. Do you know what I'm talking about? You just think, okay? Suppose with your small mind, you think the best thing is a car, a 1977 racing car. Then heaven would have a 77 racing car. right? If you, with you are mature, you have a better mind, you begin to think about a mansion, then the heaven would have a lot of mansions. Surely that's why Christianity tell people, in my father's house, there are many mansions. Even the translator translate mansions. Actually, the word is abode. In my father's house, there are many abode. Who are the abode? Mr. Just you. I'm abode. In my father's house, there's abode Titus. There's abode Bob. There's abode Floyd. We all are the abode for Christ to abide in.
Amen.
Is that clear? We all the abode for Christ to abide in, right? But, you know, we always like to think about the wonderful things, the heavens and so. And do your best to think. Now I realize you don't have to think. You already have a foretaste. If you would ask me, how good is heaven? I would say, have you ever touched the Lord?
Yeah.
Have you touched the Lord? Yeah. Now, I even like to ask Sue a little bit. You know, Sue, you just got to say, have you ever touched the Lord Jesus? Yeah? Oh, wow. When you touch him, do you feel something? You know, what is that? That is earnest. That feeling, that experience is earnest to tell you in the heavens, or in eternity, we will experience this all the time. We, somehow, you know, just by coincidence, we touch our spirit. Right? Some get exercised. But I wouldn't be surprised. Many Christians, by coincidence, they touch their spirit. And many Christians, they even never got the coincidence. That's a problem. But I tell you, whenever you touch your spirit, you get so excited. Hallelujah, I have the Lord's presence. Oh, it's so good. It's so wonderful. Do you know what is this? That is earnest. The earnest, the foretaste Lord has given to us for us to realize in eternity we will be so happy, so joyful, so satisfied, so sufficient all the time like this. The only thing, it is fuller. It is richer. It is higher. It is better. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
So not only you are sealed, but also you have the earnest. Am I right? Okay, now, this verse is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Then point 8. You also get the anointing. Not only you are sealed, not only you have the earnest, but also the spirit, the life of God in you moves all the time. Moves. It's not a what? It's not a noun. It's a verb noun. How do you say that verb? Verb noun, gerund. It is a ing, anointing, right? Something within you moves all the time. Have you realized after you're saved, something happens in you, all the time moves? Surely, I like to ask you, young brother, do you have this? Do you know something's moving? How about you, sister? No, how about you? Do you realize something here moving all the time? How about you? Brother, I tell you, hallelujah, after we are saved, it's not just say, no, we're saved. What do I do? I'm waiting. What? To go to the heavens someday. It's shameful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are saved. What do you get? You got the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You got a new heart. You got a new spirit. You got the light of life. You got the law of life. And then you got what? You are sealed. You have the earnest. And also, you have the anointing moves in you all the time.
Yeah.
You know what anointing do? The anointing produce the essence of God himself. The anointing produces the essence of God himself. Just like paint, the painting, right? Whenever I paint over the wall, the paint is over here. And it stayed. The more I paint, the thicker the paint get. Am I right? I tell you, after you got saved, there's anointing. If you allow it moves, you say, Lord, oh, Lord, move. Oh, Lord, move. Move more, Lord, anoint me more. Lord, I like to be anointed. Lord, anoint me, anoint me. The anointing, more than teach you, it first teach you something. But more than teach you, the anointing would anoint the essence of God into your being. The more you are anointed, the more you are anointed, the more you are anointed, the more you will be as God. I don't know, brother. We don't have time. I tell you, I surely like, if I could have 2 hours, point by point, take off my coat, jumping around with you to tell you how wonderful all these things.
Amen.
I tell you, isn't that wonderful? What do you have? The triune God.
Amen.
God the Father as a source, God the Son as a cause, God the Spirit as a flow, as a what? A flow, right? And more than this, you have a new heart. Then thirdly, you have a new spirit. Amen. Then fourthly, you have the light of life. Fifthly, you have the law of life. Then sixth, you have the seal. Then seventh, you have the earnest. And eighth, you also have the anointing. Not only you are sealed, not only you have the foretaste, but there is anointing moving you all the time to anoint the riches of God into your being. Oh, I tell you, even now, what I'm sharing with you, I surely sense anointing. Am I right? The more you listen to me, the more you feel, oh, something's here. Oh, hallelujah. Something's here. What is this? This is not a dead teaching. This is the practical experience of God through what? Through the anointing. Am I right? Then, ninth, you also received that spirit. Actually, that is just God himself. It's the same. Point nine, that spirit equals point one. But that spirit brings you into all this reality. Tomorrow we'll cover more. I think today's too late. I give you the verse. On anointing, you have 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Then on that spirit, you have chapter 7, verse 39. And then chapter 3, verse 63. And you also have Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And you also have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. You all know this verse, 15:45. The last, no, what is that? Now, the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Without this spirit, you never have enough life. Brother, aren't you surprised? You got all this just by saying, oh, Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you surprised, Sue? You got all this just by saying, Lord, I open myself. That 30 second, God is yours, Father is yours, Son is yours, Spirit is yours, new heart is yours, new spirit yours, what, the light of life is yours, the law of life is yours, the seal is yours, the earnest is yours, the anointing is yours, that spirit is yours. All those pertaining to God and to pertaining to God's work with you is yours in that very moment. You open up your mouth, begin to say, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, brother, we better say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is wonderful.
Amen.
It is wonderful that when we are saved,
amen,
we got all these riches.
Amen.
We'll never understand this.
Amen.
We thought we just got saved. We're not going to hell anymore. Brother, forget about not going to hell.
Amen.
It is wonderful, but it's not excellent. Because you shouldn't go to hell anyway. The excellent thing is how God dispenses himself into you by that simple repentance.
Amen.
Lord, I take you as my Savior.
Amen.
If you're not saved, my friend, I hope you can pray. Take Christ in. Are you a brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you are, then, hallelujah, brother and sister, realize it is wonderful.
Yeah.
We have all these things belong to us, even though we don't even realize them. And so bad, we don't have enough time. I tell you what we do tomorrow. Tomorrow, we would shorten our pre-reading, just some few verses. Then we will begin to ask some brothers, give us some messages immediately. So we will leave more time to cover the major burden. And also, I say again, if any one of you here not yet baptized, I come back realizing that testimony is precious and important. I do hope you can be baptized. We could have a few brothers pray. Maybe I just ask, who have not baptized over here? Would you raise up your hand, please? Oh, sister? One? Any more? Thank you, sister. You've been baptized, brother?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How about you, sister? How about you, brother?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You've all been baptized. Sister, I like to ask you, you like to be baptized tonight or Sunday morning? It's all up to you. Or you don't want to be baptized? You like to? Tonight or Sunday? How about Sunday morning? So the whole church can celebrate with you.
Amen.
Everybody can rejoice with you.
Yeah,
that
amen.
We treasure what the Lord has done for us, and we treasure what the Lord has given to us.
Amen.
Now, we have a few brothers pray to close this meeting.